There seems to be three typical approaches to LinkedIn. And I got to tell you the truth. I'm not going to lie. Not going to pull any punches here. Every one of those approaches, absolutely all caps, sucks. Today, we're going to help you identify those approaches. And most importantly, we're going to offer a few remedies. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the Your Sales Playbook blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 10,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. So today we're going to be talking about three very typical approaches that I've been seeing on LinkedIn for the last 8 years. I have to tell you, as I think I was rather blunt in the intro, I have to tell you every one of these approaches sucks. I'm going to tell you that I would be absolutely shocked if you're not guilty of at least one of these approaches. And I just always like to put my cards on the table with you guys because one of the things, because, you know, I'm a student too. I think that's important that you guys know this. I mean, I'm not just some pompous, all-knowing Uncle Paul here. I mean, I consider myself a humble student also. And I have to tell you, one of the things I can't stand is when I'm in the presence of someone who thinks they're the all-knowing guru, they have it all figured out, like, you know, like their shit doesn't stink and like they've never made a mistake. One of the things I always say in my training sessions and when people hire me and in my keynote speeches is that none of you, I promise you, are going to ever be able to out-dumb me on the dumb mistakes that I've made, especially when it comes to LinkedIn. I've been on LinkedIn now for 8 years. I will tell you that, and many of you have heard this story. When I first went on LinkedIn, man, I was 2008. I was like, all like pumped up and ready to go. Like, man, what is this like incredible beast of a network that we've been given? This is going to be the answers to all our sales prayers. I got up in front of, geez, it was probably about 1,000 people. When I worked for this $1 billion a year company, it was a printing company that owned 70 other printing companies, by the way. I got up and I was like, you've got to like right now, like stop what you're doing. Like leave this keynote speech. Like, you know, actually don't leave the keynote speech. I want to hang out with you guys, but like immediately, like run, don't walk, set up a LinkedIn profile and get your ass over there. I thought it was the best thing since sliced bread in the keynote speech that I did, in all the breakouts that I was facilitating. I was saying, get in there, in all my classes with all the reps that I was training there. I was telling them, get on LinkedIn. I was like putting it in all the training manuals. And then I think it was 60, maybe 90 days later, I quit LinkedIn because I thought LinkedIn sucked. Right? I mean, isn't that like typical salesperson? I mean, like, we're all over the damn place. It's kind of like, oh, look, bright, shiny object. Oh, look, a squirrel. Oh, look, LinkedIn. And I had quit LinkedIn, quite frankly, because at that point in time, I thought it sucked. And I think many of you might be there right now, except you might think it sucks for a different reason. Or maybe, you know, you think it sucks for multiple reasons. But my reason at the time was, where the hell is all this business? Where the hell is all this opportunity coming? And, you know, LinkedIn just, like, sucks. And for many of you, that might strike a nerve. But in addition to it, like you might be thinking, it's all these stupid puzzles now that people are posting up. We're getting close to an election here in the US. So guess what people are posting? All this like ridiculous like political commentary, which I agree, it doesn't belong there. It really should not be on LinkedIn. So we blame LinkedIn. But truth be told, what happened was I had this major revelation. And another story that I tell quite often, I think it's been a while since I shared it with you guys, but you need to hear it again. I had this revelation back in also 2008, but this time it was in my classroom. It was probably August of 2008, and I was wrapping up a sales boot camp program that I was facilitating in the printing industry. And everything was going great. And we get to the end of our time together, And I said, you know, any other questions or thoughts or feedback from me before we all head off to the airport, right? And people are like packing their bags. And this one guy in the class, very respectfully, this dude by the name of John, he just raised his hand and he said, hey, Paul, listen, you know, throughout our time together, we were doing this thing called On the Spot, which I would call them in front of their peers, up in front of the classroom, which, again, we're like the most talkative profession on the planet until somebody asks us to get up in front of our peers, and then we get all kinds of shy, right? So my job was and still is to move people out of their comfort zone without making it such a traumatic experience that everybody either becomes a full-fledged drunk or needing in dire need of therapy. So I would call him up to the room, front of the room. I'd put him on the spot, put him through some difficult questions, and put them on the spot. So he said, hey, Paul, you've been putting us on the spot. Can I put you on the spot? And me being from New York, you guys know I'm not a wuss here. I'm like cracking my neck. I'm like, bring it, bitch. You know, which, like, you call a guy a bitch. That's like, to me, as insulting, if not more insulting than slapping a man, right? Like, a man getting slapped is just, to me, one of the most, like, by another guy. It's like, you know, like, I'm not going to even punch you. Like, you're a bitch. I'm going to slap you, right? I mean, that kind of thing. And I'm glad I didn't strike him, man, by the way, because it turned out the guy's like, I'm not kidding you. I think he's like a second degree black belt in like jujitsu or something like that. So that would have been a bad mistake on my part. But anyway, thank God I don't slap people in the classroom for that reason. I'm a little old for that kind of brawling these days. But anyway, he decided, like, I'm ready, man. Come on. Like, what the hell are you going to do to me, bitch, right? So anyway, he says, you know, you've been, when we talk about goals, you're talking about how you had this goal of writing a book. Now, at that point in time, I want to let you know, I did have a goal of writing a book. I've since kind of gotten away from it, not because I'm lazy or because I don't believe I can do it. It's just because I would rather grow a business right now. And, you know, I'm really enjoying the fact that the last several years I've doubled and tripled the revenue of Castain Training Systems. So, you know, that's a major accomplishment for me. Plus, you know, I wanted that in place before I went off and started dicking around writing a book and missing time and opportunities. And you know, it's nice to have money to actually promote your book and, like, get away from selling and now get out and actually, you know, appear on different podcasts and interviews and publications and TV and radio and all that kind of stuff. You had better have a revenue stream when you're doing that, or you're going to go broke pretty, you know, like, quickly. But anyway, he says, you were talking about, like, I'm really digressing here. He said, you were talking about how you always wanted to write a book. If you know, I mean, you obviously can write. I mean, and he holds up the training manual, which, by the way, looked like a small phone book that I had written. I'm not kidding you. Remember phone books? Anyway, and he said, so you obviously can do that. He goes, we know you have the chops. I mean, this was an incredible training session. You have the knowledge. You're in sales now at this point. I think at that point I was in sales like 25 or 26 or 27 years, whatever the hell it was. And he says, so why haven't you done it? Why haven't you written your book? And he asked it like a gentleman. He didn't ask it like, aha, I got you, Mr. Trainer. You know, like, you suck. Like, he didn't do it like that. He was just like asking me and offering me really an incredible moment for growth. So before I could say anything, and as I often describe it, my filter from my brain to my mouth that keeps me from saying things that I'm thinking was asleep or drunk or still like hanging out at the bar over on Beale Street in Memphis where we were training. And before I could stop myself, I said, because I'm scared. And it was a typical moment in a movie where you hear like the record skip and scratch and all that, and like everything is quiet. And I many of you know me, some of you don't, and you need to understand that I am a really open person. I think that if you're going to train with me, you deserve honesty from me. So I'm not looking to cover up my blemishes. I'm really not. I want you to learn from them. I have no problem using myself as the example of something not to do. in order for you to really get the lesson. You know, I'm not going to just make like, I'm the hero. I had it always figured out. I always rocked. I didn't always rock. I make mistakes every single day, just like you guys. But I choose to learn from them and move on and not, you know, sit there and ponder them and analyze them at the risk of, like, not executing. So I said to everybody, you heard that correctly. I am scared, and now I got to figure out why the hell I just said that in front of my peers and why I'm really so scared. So I get back to the hotel room. I elected not to go out that night and just kind of do some soul searching. And I really thought about why I was scared. It wasn't in the writing of it. It wasn't even in the really meticulous process you have to go through, especially with editors and everything like that. I wasn't worried about that. I wasn't even worried about getting my ideas rejected. I mean, hell, I've been in sales my whole life. I've been told no my whole life. It's just something that I learn how to handle, and I use it to fuel another attempt and a better attempt and a learning experience. So it wasn't that. Really what it came down to is that I felt that no one really knew who I was beyond the company that I worked for. I was a rock star there, but outside of those walls, if I wanted to sell books, like outside of like my coworkers, it'd be nice if people knew who I was. So right away I started thinking, well, geez, man, maybe like I shouldn't have abandoned LinkedIn. Like that could have been, I mean, it was a free platform for me. I don't even know if they were charging back then, to be quite honest with you, back in 2008. And so I was like, you know, and I came to the revelation without any like serious like pounding down of alcohol. I came to the serious like conclusion that maybe it wasn't LinkedIn that sucked. Maybe it was me. Maybe like the fact that like I did nothing with it. Like I just kind of, you know, connected with people and waited for the world to beat a path to my door and present me with opportunity and speaking gigs and, you know, like book publishers coming my way. And, you know, that's just kind of silly. I mean, you know, you might as well, you know, like hope for Santa Claus to come in the morning and give you that red bike that you wanted when you were six that you never got, right? I mean, it's just ridiculous. So that was kind of my revelation to getting back involved in LinkedIn. And I'm really hoping that by the end of today's podcast, those of you who really aren't working LinkedIn will get a little bit more serious about it. And those of you who have abandoned LinkedIn, like I did, will get back to it. And before I tell you about the three approaches to LinkedIn that completely suck and limit opportunities and everything else, I want to be very clear what I'm saying here. I think that many of you get your guard up when any kind of a sales thought leader starts talking about LinkedIn. Many of them are basically, you know, a vast majority of them are saying give up the cold calling or give up the phone and everything else. And many of you also, and rightly so, question that advice from them because you look at their LinkedIn profile and you see someone who they never actually sold. They came from more marketing, or maybe they were displaced and all of a sudden, hey, I know I'm a social networking expert. I'm a social selling expert. And I've seen this with many of them as well, because I'm always curious to just like get somebody's background. I'm like, here's a person who never carried a bag dispensing sales advice. You can call it social selling all day long, but if you haven't carried a bag, I don't want to hear from you. I really don't. That might be a tad ignorant, but I know that I'm not alone in that thinking. I really don't. And my reason why I don't want to hear from you, by the way, is because you don't know anything about trench warfare. And you could sit and you can be philosophical about sales all day long, but when bullets start flying and you're in the trenches, it's a whole different experience. So you might be going through that as well. You're looking like, hey, this person's giving me this advice. Or they're just telling you like you're supposed to spend all these hours on LinkedIn and everything else. I'm not going to do either one. My approach to sales is very, very simple. I believe, and what we preach at Castain Training Systems, is that it's a mixed martial art. It's not exclusively LinkedIn that you should be doing. It's not exclusively a cold call either. It's not exclusively emails or networking events, or if you're great with referrals, or if you're great at putting out content. I think it needs to be mixed martial arts, where it's just a combination of different approaches designed to get through to your ideal client. I mean, that's what I think it should be about. Now, again, who am I to tell you what's right and what's wrong? But I'm just trying to get you to understand why you might tense up when people start talking about LinkedIn. You might also tense up because, you know, maybe you're like I was when, and still am, when I decided to embrace LinkedIn, really not what they would call a spring chicken. At that point of my life, let's see, I was about 43 years old. And one thing we all know, and maybe we don't talk about it enough, is that many times the older we get, the more we resist change. And also the more we can become an old dog. And part of the reason why I decided to really embrace kind of like a Castain 2.0 rebranding at that point, inclusive of like LinkedIn and Twitter and other things, right? I mean, aside from calls and all that other traditional stuff that I came up on, is because I was afraid that if I didn't, I'd become an old dog. Now, again, just a lot of clarification in this podcast. I'm not saying that we have to chase the latest, most shiniest, bright, shiny object. I'm saying that it's very easy in sales to continue to cling to the things that make us most comfortable. And even if you are getting some results from there, and decent results, and I would even say even if you're getting pretty damn good results, I'm here to tell you that you are still limiting your results and limiting your opportunities if you're not embracing other methods of outreach. And today, it's all about LinkedIn. So enough of that setup. I just feel like I just became guilty of what drives me crazy with other podcasters. Just like, you know, like 15 minutes in, they're still telling you what the hell they're going to be talking about. So this next part is going to go a lot quicker. So here they are in no particular order. The three typical approaches to LinkedIn that I think are absolutely like sucky and completely limit your opportunities. So the first one happens when you connect with people and you do absolutely nothing. Now, that was me. That was definitely me in that example that I gave before. But I'm here to tell you that there's a very good chance that that's you as well. I see this all the time, by the way. I, on a weekly basis, I probably get upwards of about 50 LinkedIn invitations. Now, anybody listening to this, I don't want to say, oh my God, I suck. I don't get 50 like Castain. I just want to clarify something. You guys also aren't like a lunatic like Castain doing podcasts and blog posts, sometimes three a day I'm putting out. I have my my newsletter that I send out through email. We have 30,000 subscribers over there. I have a YouTube channel. I have a LinkedIn group with almost 60,000 members. And I can go on and on and on, but let me just kind of put it under the umbrella of that I've been doing this since 2008. So I've had probably a lot more exposure than you have. So a lot more people are approaching me. So now I will tell you, of the 50 people a week that approach me, if one of those people, maybe two, I'm going to still stick with one. If one of those people out of that 50 continue to keep in touch with me or make any attempt to interact with me, I would fall out of my chair. And it's not a Castain thing that all of a sudden it's like, ha, fooled you. Now I'm going to be a dick and I'm going to like try to sell you left and right. Not at all. But the thing I want to point out, they approached me. So it's like walking over to somebody and saying, hi, let's have a conversation. And that other person like tries to have a conversation and all of a sudden they realize, look at them, they're walking away from me. Why did you come over and say, I want to have a conversation with you? And I see this like a lot of the time on LinkedIn. So, you know, I think in your defense, if you fall into this category, and certainly in my defense, because I told you I fell into this category, you probably don't know what to say once you're connected. So, I mean, it's kind of like we all have like, you know, the right to remain silent. So like we don't say anything. So let me just offer something to you. I mean, how about start? I mean, this is like, again, I'm not being a wise ass here. This is what I actually do. Start by saying thank you. Why? Because nobody does it. They connect. And whether somebody sent you the invite or they accepted yours, you can still say thank you, right? And again, nobody does it. So just start by saying thank you. But from there, how about periodically, like once a month, every 6 weeks, send some kind of resource to everyone in your network. And the best way to do it is the bulk of the time, send it as a no strings attached resource. And you know, there's a really good book that I've been talking about for years. I think it came out in like 2010. So that book is at least 6 years old. And a book called Content Rules. Content Rules. And I think it was put out by Ann Handley and C.C. Chapman. But if you just look up Content Rules, I think you're going to find it pretty easily because it's a very popular book. And by the way, get the audiobook too, because then you like listen to your car in your car and, you know, you can like stay on top of this learning thing. So one of the things that they talk about in that book is this concept of sending things that are brand agnostic, meaning it's not tied to you. It's not like tied to any one brand, that you're sending along useful information. So let me give you a few examples of what I would call brand agnostic resources that I've sent out in the past. So one of the things I notice is that people like me enjoy apps. Right? Phone apps. So what I do is when I come across one that I think is really, really good and I've had a chance to try it out, I'll send it along to everybody. So that's one kind of, again, I'm not tied to the app. I don't own any interest in the company, whatever it is. I'll send it along. A few years ago, I found a search engine that specializes in almost like a Google search that you could do, but you could set up alerts on the search engine and it will pull all the different types of social media that that person has been mentioned in and everything else. So you can learn a lot about the person. It's a free resource. I'll give you one more. A few years back, I came across a free conference call company. I sent that along to my network. Again, it was no strings attached, brand agnostic. So that's one of the things that you could do. You could also introduce people who need to know each other in your network. I mean, there's never a downside to playing matchmaker, unless, of course, you're introducing somebody to an asshole. Then there is probably a really big downside to that. But, you know, there's a lot more things that you can do, but I'm going to add one more into it because I think it's by far one of the most important things, but I think it has to be properly timed. Otherwise, it gets kind of weird. And it's the concept of, like, get on a phone call with people in your social network. Forever, I've been just, like, suggesting to everybody, start alphabetically. Start with your A's. And every single week, pick at least three people that you haven't spoken with. Send them an email and say, hey, you know, I'm embarrassed. We've never spoken. What do you say we change that? How's your schedule looking? And do it like you would on a cold call, except just understand this isn't a cold call anymore. This is like a nice warm call for a change. And just say, hey, you know, we've been connected for a while and I'm embarrassed to say, I've never reached out to you. What do you say we change that? Let's have a quick chat. How's your schedule looking for either this Tuesday, 9:30 a.m., or this Thursday at 4:45 p.m., whatever damn times you want. But give them two choices. So you should be doing that. So that's the first thing. So the first mistake is, again, you connect and you do nothing. The only thing that I would say is that's really a part of that one. It could be a separate category, but then I'd be like giving you four things that people aren't doing right. And I know how you guys are. You start hearing like four and five different things you got to do. Then it's like, yeah, I'm not going to listen to Castain today. He's complicating this thing. So also too, I notice a lot of people are just really bad at like responding to people on LinkedIn, which is to me just crazy considering that we call it a social network. There's nothing social about blowing somebody off. And I know that I'm not alone in feeling this. I know someone from my group, many of you may know him, and if you don't, you should know him, a gentleman by the name of Tim Mushi. He was talking about it, how like, you know, people like don't respond to him. Like even like when he'll like say, hey, thanks for the invite, you know, blah, 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 blah. And there's no response. There's nothing. Or like he'll send some along. There's nothing. So he's experiencing it. I put this question up in my LinkedIn group, Sales Playbook, and everybody, it was like a damn support group meeting. People were saying, yeah, people suck at this, right? And I will also tell you, I mean, it's not like a, like, oh, I'll fix you type of move. But there's a lot of people like me who take great pride and joy in removing people like you if you don't respond. Again, not because, oh, I'll fix you. I'm going to remove you from my network. No, it's just that why I don't like fluff in anything I do. When I would put together, like, you know, back in the day, different like pending accounts lists and hot lists of all the accounts, whatever, I didn't go throwing it with every deal that I was working. I only put things that I felt were 90% or better in closing within a very short time. Otherwise, I wasn't going to be that asshat in the sales meetings going through 20,000 things that are going to close and like maybe two of them go. I wanted it to be when Paul said he was going to close something, he's going to close it. So it's the same thing here. I don't believe in keeping people who are not going to be responsive. And people say to me all the time, they say, well, you know, what if they're going through something and what if they have a challenge? I mean, so everybody's going through something? And, you know, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but I do have kind of a solution for that. If I'm reaching out to someone, and it's very easy on LinkedIn to see that you've been reaching out because you'll see the history of emails that you've been sending through LinkedIn. If I look and I'm like, geez, man, I've been like emailing this person free resources. I asked them a question. I offered to help. I introduced them and I'm not hearing back. And oh my gosh, look at this. It's like this goes back to like this time, like in 2015. This is a year of this. I get rid of them. I'm done at that point. If they reapproach me, I'm not looking to make them feel bad. I'll say, oh, thanks anyway. I'm going to respectfully decline. Just as an FYI, we were connected at one point. I never would hear back from you. And, you know, at that point, if you know, somebody wants to, like, try it again, I'm happy to give a do-over. But I feel like they should know. I'm not looking to, like, have them guessing or feeling bad or anything else. I'm not doing it to feed my ego. I'm doing it because I really believe we got to stop that kind of shit on LinkedIn. You don't connect with people and then ignore them. I mean, this goes back to stuff your mom taught you, right? I mean, seriously. I mean, this is like, you know, like please and thank you type of stuff that we're spending time talking about on a podcast, but I wouldn't be talking about it on a podcast if there was no need to. I mean, it's just like nutty. And that's the stuff that's going to kill the social networks, people not being social. But instead of sitting and being all annoyed about it, I want to tell you, I really believe it represents an opportunity. Why? Because I actually respond to people. And I'm sure if you do too, and you're being active with them, well, you're going to stand out because that's what you're up against. And it's not easy to beat that. That's like, to me, easy pickings right there. So the second mistake that I see people make on LinkedIn is that they connect and they immediately hit you up with a sales pitch. Now, that's the one everybody talks about. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that one because I really believe it's self-explanatory. But I'm going to tell you, I have been in more than one debate on that one. And what people generally say, which I'm sorry, but like, it just sounds creepy and sleazy, this rationale, is that, well, you know, we're on LinkedIn, you know, we all know why we're here. We all know why we're here. What, to get harassed? To, like, accept an invite in good faith and then immediately get somebody, like, trying to hit them up for a favor or to make a sale or whatever it is? How, like, I'm not there for that. You know, to me, that's like, you know, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry for this, ladies. But, you know, I kind of have to go there. It's like, guys, it's like, you know, going to a bar where, like, singles go to. And again, I don't know anything about that. And I had better, like, make that known to Mrs. Uncle Paul that I don't know anything about that. Because, by the way, yesterday we celebrated our 28th wedding anniversary. How cool is that? Right? So, like, I don't want to be, like, making like I know too much about singles bars, you know, in front of Mrs. Uncle Paul or anybody for that matter. But, you know, it's my understanding that people who are single that would be going to a singles bar are looking to meet people. How freaking sleazy would it be to walk over to someone and say, well, let's cut all the foreplay. We all know why we're here, baby. I mean, that to me is freaking sleazy, right? So what my point is that I would put my money on the person who actually didn't take that approach. That somebody who actually like knew a little bit about like finesse and like what to say and do. And I don't know, maybe timing plays into this a little bit. So we all know why we're here. Yes, I mean, I'm absolutely not there to make a bunch of buddies and have a bunch of people, you know, love you, Uncle Paul, you know, all this kind of stuff and get friend-zoned. But I don't think I'm going to do too well on LinkedIn if I immediately start hitting people up on a sales pitch. So that's approach number two. And it's kind of the opposite of the first one when you think about it. The first one was you connect, you do nothing. This one is you connect and bang, buy from me. Or hit somebody up for a favor right away. And the third one sounds like I'm kind of nitpicking a little bit. Maybe I am, but I want you to think this one, think about this one a little bit. It might challenge you a little bit. Third one is kind of it's kind of middle of the road. It's like you interact, you connect with people, and you actually interact with them. You send along those helpful resources, like I mentioned, right? But you never try and sell your network. So you're doing the right things. You're trying to, you know, refer business their way. You're trying to play matchmaker. You're trying, you see them and it looks like, oh man, this person actually needs help. Let me offer my help. Heck, I mean, when I first started back on that beginning of that Castain 2.0 journey in 2008, back in those days, man, it was probably for at least 2 years. I was like giving away free coaching sessions to people, and I would get on a phone if you needed help. If you asked me for help, I would never tell you no. I'd get on the phone for free and give away my time. And you know what? 99% of those people never bought a damn thing from me. Now, somebody else would be saying, yeah, well, that's, you know, you got to give, give, give. I believe that's the definition of a foundation or a not-for-profit. I am neither. And I'm going to say something right now that is going to get some people a little pissed at me, and it's not going to be the first, it's not going to be the last, but I think it needs to be said. I blame a lot of the thought leaders out there for this bullshit about you can't sell on a social network. It's like, never sell on a social network. It's like, I mean, it's almost like, it's like worse than committing adultery, like selling on a social network. I don't see that as like practical. Of course I'm going to sell on a social network, and I got news for you. I'm going to sell in traditional networking events. I'm going to sell in direct mail. I'm going to sell on a phone call. I mean, you know, if I have to hire a skywriter to sell you, I'm going to, because I believe in using everything at my disposal. But, you know, it's just unrealistic, because here's what happens, and I mentioned it before. When you give, 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 give to your network, the idea is somehow, whether it be the universe and people reciprocating and all this, it's like, you know, they're going to like beat a path to your door, or they're going to notice you. It's, oh, wow, Paul also does like sales training and he's a coach and everything. I'm here to tell you that I probably have a lot more exposure than even other thought leaders out there, because I'm showing up everywhere and I've done it consistently, not for a year, not for 2 years, not even for 5 years, for 8 years, religiously. Like, I actually pray over this shit, right? I have done this. I'm even showing up on freaking holidays, right? And I'm here to tell you that, I mean, I almost closed my doors like once or twice, like what was it, about a year and a half, 2 years in, because I thought that, no, you can't sell on your social network. You can't do that, man. You got to like give, 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 give. And we think that people are going to do the right thing. And what happens is you're actually conditioning a bunch of freeloaders. And again, and I don't blame them. You were the one who did it. You were the one who basically just said, hey, check out all this free stuff. Here's a free thing for you. Hey, next month, I'm going to show up again with another free thing. Hey, here's a free call. All this free, free, free. And then what happens is, you know, people get conditioned to take more from you. Why would they pay you when they get stuff for free? Plus, they're not thinking of you in that type of spirit, right? They're thinking of you more as that benevolent person. Hence the term friend zone. Oh, you're such a good person. Oh, you're such a good friend. And then meanwhile, in my case, they're going to hire a coach up the road, or they're going to hire somebody else to be their keynote speaker. So I'm going to tell you firsthand, I'm not bitter about that at all. I blame me for that. I mean, you know, those of you who kind of like friend zone me, it's because like I enabled that. I just gave, gave, gave. I think it's very, very important that in the giving, that you don't just say, okay, now you owe me now, bitch. I mean, I gave you this. Now you got to give me. No. See, that is being an a-hole, right? And I don't even know why I said a-hole, because earlier I said asshole. So, yeah, it's being an asshole, is what that is. I mean, yeah, I don't have to like spell it and tell you earmuffs, kids, right? But that's just not like cool at all. But what I'm saying is it's very important that's sprinkled in there somewhere that people understand that there is a premium level of this relationship as well that's available to them. And the best stuff is available on that side of the fence, not necessarily this side of the fence. Access to you is available really on the premium side of the fence. So what I recommend that you do, and this has been a work in progress for me, because those of you who have followed me, I even put out a social networking playbook about 5 years ago. And by the way, that bad boy was, that's probably why I should have written a book. That was an 80-page workbook that I put out. And I sold, 20 or 25,000 copies of that. And, and before I knew how to really promote anything, it was just kind of there on the website. And before, I really grasped this concept of selling to your network, selling on my blog, I just kind of had a banner there and I got 25 downloads. Today, I'm sure I could probably push a hell of a lot more than that, because I actually will say to people, hey, I have this product. Imagine that, right? But back then, I told people 98% of your messaging should be giving to people. That is unrealistic. Back then, that was fine. I don't want to tell you I was wrong. I'm just telling you that right now, as things stand, that is unrealistic to give to people 98% of the time. And where you get the benefit of my experience, I almost starve that way. And I'm a fat dude, man. I can't go starve. I need a lot of food. I really do, especially good, fattening food. And I will tell you that didn't work. So right now, I'm kind of getting it across to everyone is that you want to go about 80% of the time offering a non-salesy message, a helpful message to people, trying to help them, trying to make them look like a rock star in front of your network and their network, validating them, listening to them, helping them any which way you can. Now, in doing that, I believe that entitles you. I really thought about that word for me. I do believe it entitles you to a 20% liberty. And the 20% liberty is doing then a more salesy message. Again, this is not a license to be a dick. This is not, okay, I've given to you, here's the scorecard, you owe me. It is not. I'm just saying that you can't just keep showing up giving to people without letting them know that they're, if you've liked what I've been doing, this is the kind of stuff my clients expect from me on a regular basis. I do this all the time for them. So, here I do it every once in a while. I do this all the time for them. If some of these ideas really resonate with you, well, there's this other side of the relationship, and let me tell you about it, whatever. But, it's not even like expressing it in that way. It's just letting people know. See, what you have to understand when it comes to branding, and I talk about this a lot, is that whatever you say and do consistently, repeatedly over time becomes associated with you. So repetition, therefore, is the mother of brand. So let's say this again, and then I'm going to give you a little bit more of an explanation of it. So whatever you say and do repeatedly and consistently over time, it will in fact become associated with you, almost like word association, almost like synonymous with you. Like they mentioned Paul Castain, and you think of these things. If I'm doing my job properly with repetition. And therefore, repetition is the mother of brand and how we perceive people. So if your perception of me is this benevolent Uncle Paul who always shows up and gives, 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 you will never think of me as someone that you can hire as your sales coach, someone you can hire to do that sales kickoff meeting you're going to be doing in January. You would just never think of me that way. And again, I'm not sitting here going, that's your fault. You suck. You're effing up this relationship. No, I take full blame for that. And that's why I make sure, and you'll see it today, and you guys that have been following me, you see, I am short of being a pain in the ass, I will let you know that I am not a not-for-profit. that I am, in fact, a businessman and you can buy from me. And I'm hoping that you'll buy from me. I'm not just like sitting here because I've got nothing to do on a Sunday and give the Paul Castain Foundation. No, I'm doing it. Now, imagine this, that I would have the balls to say this to you. I'm doing it so I hope that you hire me for something. I am. I'm sorry. Let me say it for you. I mean, I don't like have a wealthy benefactor that just like, Paul, keep doing good. I've deposited another $100,000 in the Swiss bank account so that you can continue doing good. No, I can do good because people like buy shit from me. That's why I can do good. So, I mean, somebody had to tell you that. So it's the same thing with you and the people that you're trying to get through. So whatever you do repeatedly and consistently over time is going to become associated with you. So there's two extremes to that. If you show up and you give, well, people aren't going to sit there and go, I'm not going to buy from him then because he gives and he's an idiot and doesn't try to sell me. I don't think it's going to play out that way, but I think what's going to happen is they're just not going to regard you in a buying type of, you know, capacity. I think the other side of that is if you are showing up and you are always a pain in the ass and hitting them up for something and hitting them up for a favor or whatever, I think you're going to be branded as kind of like that guy. So there's that extreme. So what you want to do is embrace like an 80-20 type of proportion here. And again, 80% of the time, give. No strings attached. No scorecard. Here you go. This is for you. I want to help you. But you better be taking a 20% liberty on top of it. So there you have it. And, you know, I gave you just a little bit of a taste of what you can do about some of these mistakes that people are making. And now I'm going to practice what I preach because I told you. I think it's very important that people hear this message consistently and repeatedly, that you're not just giving to them, that there are actually things they can buy from you. Because they're not sitting around all day saying, that was a great podcast that Paul did. What can I buy from him today? So that's why now we're going to kind of transition into something that if you liked what I had to say here today, on October 20th, I'm actually going to show you how I nurture my own LinkedIn network to generate more leads. Now, notice what I said. I don't nurture my network to just like create a network. I didn't say, I'm going to show you how to grow your network to 30,000 people. I'm just going to put my cards on the table and tell you, I have less than 3,000 people in my LinkedIn network, and I want it that way. I continually weed people out of my network because in many ways I think less is more. So I'm not sitting here saying, I'm going to show you how to grow your network to 30,000. I'm going to tell you how you can grow a network to the size that I have, maybe even less. That'll beat the shit out of somebody who has 30,000 people that don't even know who they are. So, you know, imagine that, right? Like being like, I'm going to show you how to be social on a social network, which is, of course, is like cutting edge stuff. But anyway, let me tell you what I'm going to share. Going to be sharing what to say and do from the moment you connect with someone. And I'm also going to give you the exact templates that I'm using. I mean, that to me alone, it's like shut off the podcast and just go buy the webinar on that alone, because most of you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. That's why I quit. I didn't know what to do. I was waiting for everybody to come to me. I don't know. So we're going to do that. We're also going to show you how to position yourself as an expert and the best choice with your network. We're going to show you how to provide value without conditioning a bunch of freeloaders. I'm going to keep you out of the friend zone, if you will. Also, I want to share how you can create a really powerful referral machine. You ready for this? Even with people where you've never like done business with them and they've never bought from you. So let me say that again. Kind of became a tongue twister there. How you can create a referral machine even with people who have never bought from you before. We're going to talk about how to use like the LinkedIn groups, also LinkedIn Publisher, to create more opportunities, certainly more than what you have now. How to send emails, which is what they call their emails over on LinkedIn, without paying for a premium membership. How cool is that? There's a lot of people out there that think LinkedIn is a tad overpriced, so they have the free memberships. I'm actually one of them. I have the free membership. I had the paid one. I thought, and I'm sorry to bash them, I thought their customer service back then, which might be awesome now, they totally sucked. They were non-responsive. I really not a fan of giving my money to people who don't appreciate a customer. So ever since then, I've been going the free route. Not because I'm cheap, because I really don't want to support that kind of thinking. And I'm hoping that maybe they'll get a bit better now that Microsoft owns them. But we'll see. But meantime, I'll keep my money. And I'll do these other things. But I'm going to show you how you can send emails without paying LinkedIn. So there's a really cool thing that you can do. I'm going to show you how to dramatically increase your response rate by using LinkedIn. And I think that's very, very important. We're going to talk about how to approach someone. You ready for this? Without coming across as salesy. And last but not least, and there's other things that we'll be talking about too. I want you to pay attention to this last one because you might be right on the fence right now. I kind of like what you're saying, Castain, but I can't be you. You're a lunatic with LinkedIn. I mean, all this stuff, man, like you're going hard with all this stuff. I'm going to show you how to do all these things, especially when you're on a tight schedule. There's a way that you can do this for about 30 minutes a day. Yeah, there'll be some other days where you need to put in a little more time. But if you could spare even like 15 to 30 minutes a day, I'm going to show you what to do during those 15 to 30 minutes a day. And you know what? My hope is that you'll try some of these ideas. You'll get some success. And then at that point, maybe it'll be worth investing a little bit more time. So what I'm going to teach you is a system that you could easily do. It's not complex. It's not complicated, and it's not time-consuming. And most of all, it's proven. It's the one that I've been perfecting on LinkedIn for the last 8 years. It's the one that helped me launch Castain Training Systems and keep it alive. I'm getting the bulk of my opportunities now from LinkedIn, and I simply want to share it with you. So if this makes sense to you and you want to at least like learn more about it, I want you to stop by yoursalesplaybook.com/more leads. yoursalesplaybook.com/more leads. I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them, folks. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit our website at yoursalesplaybook.com.